This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What can happen if foreign-owned ships cannot deliver heating oil by sea? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, we're getting two key pieces of economic data this morning: consumer confidence and this thing called JOLTS, the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. This will help us fill in the portrait of this weird economy, slowing down but adding jobs. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The Consumer Confidence Index is a survey asking consumers what they're planning to buy and what their expectations are for things like inflation and stock prices. Consumer confidence fell in July for the third straight month. No surprise, with interest rates rising, fewer people are planning to buy things like cars and houses. We'll also get the JOLTS report from the Labor Department this morning. It tells us how many job openings there are and how many people were hired, fired, or quit. The JOLTS report is one of the Federal Reserve's favorite economic indicators. Right now, the labor market is too tight, with a surplus of jobs chasing too few workers. The Fed has been raising interest rates in an effort to change that and cool off the economy and inflation. It might be working. The number of job openings dropped sharply in June. We'll get the July numbers today. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
After stocks had their frightful Friday and semi-miserable Monday, today a turnaround is fizzling early on. The Dow is down not quite 4 points. The S&P is down not quite 3 points. The NASDAQ is up 0.2%, 20 points. Could there be a heating oil shortage in New England as things get colder? It's about how the pipelines run, but some are also blaming what's called the Jones Act, which requires cargo transferred between U.S. ports to use U.S. ships. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
The Jones Act, officially the Merchant Marine Act of 1920, is fundamentally a protectionist measure. It requires ships bringing goods between U.S. ports to have been built and owned by Americans and run with U.S. crews.
The Jones Act protects the U.S.'s ability to have a base capacity to support maritime trade.
Gerald Morrissey is a partner at Holland & Knight in D.C. He says the law keeps the country's shipyards and merchant marine in business, and he says they have a pretty loud voice in Washington. So what about a temporary waiver that would allow non-U.S. ships to transport heating oil to the Northeast? Morrissey says that's not an easy ask.
A waiver is truly exceptional under the Jones Act.
He says a waiver normally requires proof that the shipping restrictions would harm U.S. national defense. Now, some say forget a temporary waiver. Let's just get rid of the Jones Act altogether. Colin Grabo at the libertarian think tank Cato Institute is one of them.
The law is not working. So let's scrap this and let's do something that actually works.
He says the domestic shipping industry is too small to compete on the global stage. And when heating oil needs to be shipped to other parts of the country, there shouldn't be restrictions to prevent it. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Fuel prices drifted down as the summer wore on, with the average cost of regular down to $3.84 a gallon, according to the Automobile Association. But diesel, while down more than 4% in a month, is up 55% from a year ago, $5.07 nationwide now. Now, in rural areas where vehicles and other machines use a lot of diesel, this is a hardship. Wyoming Public Radio's Hugh Cook reports.
Matt Avery is a longtime rancher in Campbell County, Wyoming, who uses diesel fuel for his pickups and farm equipment. He says while prices have risen for many things, diesel costs have only added to the equation.
Everything has gotten completely out of proportion for what a cow can pay for now. And so with the diesel fuel and everything, it makes our profit margin a lot less.
He estimates his fuel costs have gone from around $3,500 to more than $6,000 over the last 6 months or so. And he says those costs have played a role in reducing the amount of acreage he replants. A study conducted by Iowa State University found that higher fuel costs are affecting rural communities more than urban areas. It pointed out that people in rural areas often travel farther distances than people in urban ones and tend to drive larger, less fuel-efficient vehicles. University of Wyoming energy expert Rob Godby says there's also more competition among gas stations in urban areas.
If somebody cross town lowers their price, then it's more likely the other stations lower their price, and eventually everybody does. If you have fewer stations, it's less likely that happens.
Beyond agriculture, other small businesses in rural areas are affected as well. Wyoming State Senator Troy McEwen owns a couple of grocery stores, including one in the rural town of Wright.
One of the things that's hurting us the most is anything that's petroleum-based. For example, the cost of refrigerant. You wouldn't think it's a big deal, but we use a lot of refrigerant, and that's gone up almost 400%.
Still, he's trying to hold the line on rising costs by doing things like reducing the number of shipments he brings in to cut transportation costs. And he says he's trying not to pass along price increases to his customers. In Gillette, Wyoming, I'm Hugh Cook for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
A ship carrying the first grain allowed to leave a Ukrainian port since Russia's war has arrived in Djibouti, East Africa. It's wheat, arranged by the UN for countries where starvation looms. BBC's Africa correspondent Catherine Barahunga reports.
As the war in Ukraine continues to affect access to food across the globe, aid agencies are most concerned about the impact on vulnerable communities. The United Nations World Food Programme paid for this first shipment of grain from Ukraine to Africa. The wheat should arrive in Ethiopia about a week after the MV Brave Commander docks here in Djibouti. Over 20 million people there are already in need of food assistance because of the worst drought for 40 years and several conflicts happening across the large country. But this shipment is a drop in the ocean in terms of what's needed. Across East Africa, most countries have been affected by drought. In Somalia, a famine could soon be declared in parts of the country.
Reporting from Djibouti for the BBC, and a hard turn here. The Financial Times is reporting the New York Yankees are part of a $1.2 billion investment in the champions of Italian soccer, the club AC Milan, an LA-based investment firm Main Street Advisors that has money from LeBron James, and Drake is also going in on the deal. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.